Very good morning to you, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome to it's good to have you on here. It's good to have you on Eagle FM. Thanks for choosing us this morning. And it's always a pleasure being in your company. A very good morning to you. Where are you finding yourself? It's a bit cold. It's a bit cold this morning. How is the weather like in your town? Is it as cold as here? So it's a bit cold here. I just hope that, wherever you are, it's much colder. It's much colder. It's much worse than here. Okay? No, I don't know which is worse for you, but yeah. So good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station. And thank you, Tate France, for handing over to my namesake, for handing my namesake over here. So my name is Mike, and the Big Mike. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. So this is your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business news, economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories and trends and numbers, the numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear here, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning and welcome. Our time is about 7 minutes past the hour of eight, and thanks for joining us. And it's a pleasure having you this morning. So as we normally do here, that's what we do. What we do first, the first thing that we do, we go back into time. We go into the time machine and go back into history, especially in African history. We're looking at on this day in Africa, the 7th of May. So today, we're turning the clock back to the 7th. Well, a date that has brought some massive changes and milestone to the continent. So let's start in 1962. Let's start in 1962. On this day, the Algerian War of Independence officially came to an end. After a long and tough fight, just like any other African countries, so Algeria finally broke free from the French colonial rule. So it was a huge turning point that showed the world just how strong and determined the Algerian people were in their fight for freedom. And now, fast forward to 1994, May 7th is the day Nelson Mandela was sworn in as South Africa's very first black president. This wasn't just a regular change in leadership. It marked the official end of apartheid and the start of a true democracy. So Mandela taking office gave the entire nation and really the whole world, that massive reason of hope. All right. So, and finally, for today, let's go back a bit further to 1938. May the 7th is the birthday of the legendary Kenyan writer, Ngugi wa Thiong'o. He has written some of the most important books in Africa, choosing to write in both English and his native Kikuyu. So his stories tackles the it tackles the heavy stuff, like colonialism, the cultural identity, and standing up for what is right. So, and he truly helped put Africa literature on the map. So yeah, that's your look at on this day in Africa. And well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in this morning on this day in Africa. So 8:10 minutes past in the hour of 8, and we're coming to you live from the Ondangwe studio. I'll be with you. I'll be with you until 10 o'clock. So where we'll be handing over, I think for the last time, to Tate Naluvanda, who will be coming with Kwitha Mosha around 10 o'clock. Make sure that you tune in for that show as well. So, all right. So what is our thought for the day? It's a Thursday morning, May the 7th. What is our thought for the day? A fool is known by his speech, and a wise man by his silence. A fool is known by his speech, and a wise man by his silence. So the proverb reveal the impulsivity, okay? The impulsivity of a fool, you know? A fool often speak without thinking, revealing their lack of knowledge, you know? And, revealing their lack of knowledge or understanding through carelessness. So when you're being so careless or excessive, by using so much excessive words, you show your lack of understanding. And their speech exposes their ignorance and immaturity. Now, in essence, the proverb teaches the importance of thoughtful communication and the wisdom of knowing when silence is more powerful than words. So as you go throughout your day this morning, you know, understand the wisdom of knowing when silence is more powerful than words. So that's our thought for the day on Thursday, May the 7th. So, and welcome. And if you're just joining us this morning, you are most welcome. Welcome on board. Welcome in class. Much of that is more like, you know, welcome in class. All right. So, what do we have today? What do we have this morning? What are we talking about this morning? There's something interesting. Yeah, yesterday I postponed this. I wanted us to talk about it. It's about the President Etumbonandi Ndaitwah has officially clarified that the proposed 51% of local ownership requirement for mining, this is for mining license, is not a government policy. So, and that was now to, it was aimed, that was actually aimed to resolve months of investor uncertainty that rattled Namibia's mining sector. So, yeah, we're going to look at that. It's something I said yesterday. Let's talk about this today. So let's get into that. But there's something interesting as well. A debt swap agreement between the city of Windhoek and the Namibian government, where they would be converting a 357.8 million in a historical municipality debt into 428 hectares of land, you know, and that the idea is actually to unlock more than 6,000 residential even, you know, of course, to address the chronic shortage of serviced housing land in the Commerce region. So it's an interesting, you know, initiative, I must say. It's a very interesting initiative, and it's something worth looking at. Maybe that's something. Those are a creative way of addressing the issues of housing. But we're going to get into a little bit more in detail in terms of that. Please make sure that you stay tuned for that as well. And you know what? Your participation will also be part of the show, of course. You know, this won't be a show. It won't be your show without you being part of the show. So stay tuned. We'll be back and with our first items.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, well, if you want to stay connected with Eagle FM, it doesn't matter where you are now, anytime, anywhere, wherever you find yourself, you can listen to Eagle FM. You're not limited. When you can't hear us from your radio, you can always, if you have internet, for example, you can always listen to us. You can listen to Eagle FM through and the Eagle FM website. And you can also listen to, you can also then download the Eagle FM mobile app. So you can download that from the Google Play or from Play Store. So you can be able to listen to your favorite show wherever you are, with your time as well, because we have also podcasts there. That means if you are busy, you don't need to rush. You know, you can always go back and listen to the show. Well, you won't be live participating, but you know, but then you can be also, you're not left behind. So we take care of you. We took care of you. So, and on top of that, there's so many features on that Eagle FM mobile app. Make sure that you download that. And also, please do follow us. Do follow Eagle FM and the Villager on all our platforms, on X, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Telegram, WhatsApp. Yeah, engage with us as well on these social media platforms, and make sure you leave some, you know, those either a love or that, a thumbs up or a love sign, and follow us. I said follow us as well. So, or a comment itself. We also want to hear from you. So leave a comment as well. All right. So good morning, my dear listener. And so welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Let's get into this. Today we are digging into the mining owners, the ownership saga. You know, I call it a saga because, you know, and this is following months of industry-wide instability and stock market, you know, fluctuation. The Namibian government has moved to now distance itself from that controversial ministerial remarks regarding a mandatory 51% local ownership stake for mining operations. We're going to get into this because that is not that simple. The government can't just run away, can't just distance itself from this, because we're going to catch them where we can see that, aha, there's an aha moment that we're going to look at. All right, now, but let me give you a background here. Where we are, you know, my dear listener, President Ntumbonandi Ndaitwa, so has now come out and made it crystal clear, and make it very, very, very crystal clear that talked about 51% local ownership rule for mining license. It is not government policy, full stop. That is not government policy. Now, that what came down through the Chamber of Mines of Namibia, in their 2025 annual review. Okay? So, now, before, let me, you know, this is something that I do for you, okay? Just for you, because sometimes I can go on without you really knowing exactly. Let me remind you how this saga started. So, how this whole 51%, you know, percent local ownership started. You remember in 2025, the mining expo in Windhoek, you know, the hole was packed. I remember this, the hole was packed. Investors actually from Australia, Canada, China, South Africa, all were there, okay? All these investors were there. Then the Minister of Mine, Natangwe Ithete, who was also, I think he was also serving as a deputy prime minister, He really dropped a bombshell, you know, in that expo, in that hall, you know. And he suggested that going forward, I'm using the word suggested. I don't know whether that's by then it's a law. It wasn't a law by then, but it's also something that, you know, the government, you know, it's in our development priority. So he suggested that going forward, 51% of any mining license must be in a local hands. Excuse me. So that's what he suggests. Going forward now, 51% of any mining license must be in a local hands. And we get excited. You know, I remember we get excited here. We talked about it. And it was really exciting, I said. But at last, you know, we got the Nandebwe, you know? You know, by the time those investors actually landed back, like those in Sydney, there was a story there, the share prices were already wobbling, actually. You know, in fact, Namibia's linked mining companies were temporarily suspended on the Australian Stock Exchange, you know, because of those remarks. Suspended, you know. So it wasn't a small matter when it comes now to investors. And then the worry spread like a felt fire. That's when the one spread so fast. So now people started asking if this is happening to mining, will it also happen to our oil and gas? There was a little bit of that panic. You know, remember, we have just made those big offshore discoveries, and companies like Total Energies, Shell and Galp, you know, they were all watching. So this wasn't just about mining anymore. This was now about, you know, it was now about the whole reputation as a place. It was now like about Namibia's whole reputation. It was now our reputation as a country, and also as a place, you know, to do business. It wasn't just about now, you know, but now looking at Namibia, is Namibia a place to do business? So, yeah, people started getting worried. So, but let me get into who are those, you know, look, you know, when you have a movie, like, this is a drama, okay? So, like, this is a drama. Who are the cast, you know? Who are the cast of this whole drama? So, on one side, you have got now the Chamber of Mines of Namibia. This is led by CEO Veston Malango. And he's the voice. He's the industry's voice. And they were sweating, actually. So now they were sweating because their members, you know, their member felt, you know, the ground actually is shifting. The ground is shifting under their feet. You know, things are changing. Yeah, and this is always the problem, you know, and especially when it comes to mining, because new government comes with new policies, and that's why you see that, you know, investment. This nature normally takes, how would I say it? It's agreements are normally like 40 years or 50 years, and anything can happen during that time. So now they were kind of worried. Is this a new, you know, new policy that make us lose our investment? So they were sweating. You know, they were really sweating. On the other side, you had the former minister Itheten, who, according to the chamber, felt strongly that mining wasn't doing enough for ordinary Namibians. And honestly, we were on board. Many of us were on board on that. You know, that's a fair concern as well. So it's also a fair concern where we. So, and many of you who are listening as well, you felt you are probably nodding that, yeah, that was true. Because you have, we have watched, many of us have watched truck of uranium leaving our country and wondered, you know, what did my villager get out of that? Yeah. So up to now, you're asking, you know, what have my village actually get out of so much trucks that are actually leaving our shores? You know, what did my village got? What did your village get out of it? Okay. Of many things that are digging out and just leaving the shores. So he was right. So I think it was many of us we could be in his shoes. We were in his shoes, you know. Well, maybe that's not the only thing that get him fired, but so probably, you know, yeah. And then you have got the State House, you know, the state, the president, Nandi Ndaitwa herself, stepped in after the chamber struggled to get clarity. So the chamber now we're actually starting to get clarity. What is happening? As I said, everybody was panicking. According now to the newspaper, they had one shot, you know, the chamber had one shot meeting with Ethet in July last year, you know, barely 40 minutes, you know, he didn't give them time, you know, and just barely 30 minutes, 40 minutes, that's it. Just imagine, you know, billions of dollars hanging on 40 minutes, you know. All right. So now, and then now enters the National Planning Commission, the technocrats who have been, you know, handed now. They are now the one who are actually being handed the steering wheel to bring order to this whole mess. All right. So in September, 2025, the industry took the matter all the way up. Remember I said, you know, there was a really this mess and nobody knew what, is this a law? Is this a policy? What is going on? So then the chamber, they took this up, you know, they took the matter all the way to the biggest office in the land and they sat with the president. And what came out of that meeting was the clarification we have today. So it was the clarification we have today. The 51% figure is not official. It's not official policy. Now, the NPC, the National Planning Commission, was put in charge as the central authority on this issue. So, meaning, no more shooting from the hip. We are not cowboys. No more shooting from the hip. You know, no more ministers actually making policy at the podiums, you know. So because it's like the policy was just made at the podium. So, and everything must go now through a proper formal process. So that's the latest that we hear. But as I told you, there is a twist. There is a twist. And this is where I want you to pay attention. There is a twist though. All right. Now, so just as everyone was breathing easier, along came what? Along came our 6th National Development Plan, NDP-6, launched in July 2025. And guess what is written in there? All right? So we say this is not actually government policy, but in the NDP-6, a 51% local ownership baseline, it's written there, a 51% local ownership baseline for mining license with a target of 60% by 2030. Wait. What? We say that's not, you know? So, we'll come back after this.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. You know, yeah. So we now on. So on one side, on one hand, okay, we have the president say it's not a policy. All right, remember, we have the president say it's not a policy. On the other hand, now we have our national developing plan. Has it in written in black and white? You know, has it written in black and white? Now, the question probably is how do we reconcile that? How do we reconcile that, Namibia? Now, the other things that also the that also has been said is that the chamber says they helped draft the mining chapter. So they helped actually drafting the mining chapter, but their input were diluted, kind of like omitted. You know, and those, well, these are a diplomatic word, but in a plain English, their concern were ignored. That's basically saying their concern were ignored. So the NPC has since admitted that the 51% figure was calculated on aggregated basis, you know, including small mining claims, you know, and that the number may need it to be, recalibrated, you know, adjusted. Okay? So, now, I want to be fair, okay? Let's look at this more in a fair way. Now, yeah. So, hold on. So, my dear listeners, before we pick a side, I know there are already some people that are picking side. Let me sit you down, okay, and walk you through both arguments, okay? Let me go, and this is the main part. Let me walk you through. I'm going to walk you through both arguments because this story has two faces. I think it has two faces. Now, first, let's hear the mining industry side of the story. So the company say they have a point, okay? Of course they have a point that mining is not like running a tax shop. Okay, just giving an example. So it's not like running a tax shop. I think to open an uranium mine in the Erongo or a lithium operation in the Karas region, for example, you need billions of Namibian dollars up front. Billions of Namibian dollars. Now, and that money, it doesn't fall from the sky. It's not the manna from heaven, you know. It comes from the international investors, from the pension fund in London, while our pension fund is here. It's coming from pension fund in London, from the bank in Toronto, while our banks are here, from shareholders in Sydney somewhere. You understand? Now, the argument goes like this. Now, if you suddenly tell those investors, sorry, you must hand over 51% of your project to local partners, many of them will simply pack and go. They will simply pack up and take their money to Botswana, to Zambia, or to Tanzania. Yeah? They will simply pack up. So this was now the chamber's concern. And the company is concerned. So, and they said it's not because they don't want Namibia to benefit. And remember, this is not because they don't want Namibia to benefit. It's because the math, according to them, the math, it doesn't work. The math, it doesn't work for them. 51%. The math doesn't work for them. So they also point out something important. So they have already been contributing. They say, well, we have been already contributing through taxes, through royalties, through wages, through skill training, and through community project. So now the chamber tried to show this to Minister Ithete at that time, but they say they only got about 40 minutes on of his time. So their frustration is real. They felt like they are being judged without a fair hearing, you know. So yeah, and here is their nightmare scenario. Okay, investors don't just look at one country. I think that's you and I know understand that, you know, they don't just look at one country. They compare. If Namibia becomes unpredictable in terms of their policies, kind of like, okay, what is going on? We don't know what's going to happen, you know? So where, for example, one minister say one thing and actually the president say another. So investment dries up. It dries up. So mine don't open. And then in this case, you have mine don't open. You know, jobs don't come. The youth in our country, in Tumep, anywhere, in Arandas, in Oranjemund, stay unemployed. Yeah? They stay unemployed. And that's their warning. And this is the warning of now the companies and the Chamber of Commerce and the Chamber of Mine. So those are their warning. Now, let's flip the coin. Okay? Let's flip the coin, the government side. But, my dear listeners, government is not wrong also. It's also not wrong to push back either. So, and we must say this loud and clear. Okay? This part, we must say it loud. For years, for many years, for decades, Namibia have watched our mineral being dug up, you know, loaded onto ships and sailed away to be processed somewhere else. We have seen this for many years. So we export the rock, you know, we export the rock. They make the iPhone, the batteries, the jewelries, you know, and we get crumbs. They get the cake. Is that fair? So that's the question some of our leaders are asking. Is that fair? And that's where, you know, Ithete, that's what the shoes Ithete was wearing, you know. Government's argument is simple. Independence is more than a flag and national anthem, you know. It's more than that. Really independence means owning your own resources. Are we owning our own resources? Yeah. If we don't push for meaningful local ownership now, yeah, if we don't push that now, while these minerals are still in demand, because some of these minerals are in demand, if we don't push that now, while these minerals are still in demand, when will we ever do it? Yeah. When will we ever do it? In another 35 years? And to be honest, the trickle down promises has been preached for how many years? For how many 36 years now since independence? It has been preached for too long, but drive past any mining town, you know, and tell me what you see. Just drive past any mining town. What do you see? Yeah. I'm talking about that trickle down of the promise that has been made. So, of course, there are some development in those towns. Some development, yes, but also poverty in those towns. But also poverty, also unemployment, also broken roads, you know. So when the government say enough, we want a bigger seat at the table. I think they are speaking for many ordinary Namibians who feel actually left behind. So, and there's also a dignity argument here. Okay? Why should a young Namibian engineer, for example, a young Namibian engineer train at NUST or at UNAM only be allowed to work for the mine but never own a piece of it? Why? So, because local ownership is not just about money, okay? It's about saying, you know, it's about saying our people are not just laborers, in their own country. This is what it means. So, but somewhere there is where the truth sits. Where does the truth sit? Okay, honestly, you know, somewhere in the middle. Okay, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. Both sides are telling part of the truth. Okay, the industry is right. It's right that policy uncertainty kill investment. That's right. The industry, when they said, well, if there's policy uncertainty, that kills the industry. That's true. You know, government is also right. Government is also right that the current arrangement hasn't transformed enough lives. We also have to understand that, you know, the current, the way things are, hasn't really many lives. It hasn't transformed enough lives in our country. So the really question isn't whether to push for local ownership. I think it's how and how fast. So it's how and how fast, because we also, at the same time, we also don't want to break the goose, you know, that lays the Iranian egg. We don't want to break that as well. So because otherwise you put yourself in, you know, you may be pushing that, but then, you know, they left, then they, it doesn't produce eggs anymore. So what do you do? It doesn't produce Iranian egg anymore. Then what do you do? Okay. So, and our Iranian egg got the royalties, the revenues and tax revenues and, training, maybe that is offers skill transfer, whatever the case may be. Okay. So now to properly look at this saga, I think I'm going to ask some question. All right. I'm going to ask some question for us to ponder about. All right. So that just give us an idea what maybe things that we're not looking at properly. So the question one, how does the sitting minister at that time, you have a sitting minister who is also deputy prime minister, announce a policy at a major expo that turned out not to be a policy at all? Who is running the shop here? Either it was a policy and the government is now backing down under investors' pressure, or it was never a policy and we have a serious, if it was never a policy, then we have a serious problem with ministers freelancing, kind of like ministers freelancing or on a national economic matters. Which is which? You have to tell me which one is which. It's either it was a policy and the government now are backing down because of pressure, investors' pressure. Or, as I said, if it was not, then we have a serious problem. So that means any minister can just get up to the podium and say anything they want, you know, regarding national economic matters. So that's a bit dangerous. Okay? And maybe that's what got this man fired. Now think about it. So those are really problems. Okay? So now, the other thing is, my other question, my question two, these are questions that I just want you to, you know, I'm putting some this idea into your head. That's what this program is all about. It's 51% local ownership. I'm asking this. Is this a bad economic idea? Do you think that's a bad... Now, think this economically. Is it a bad economic idea? Now, let me balance here. Many countries, Botswana, Zimbabwe, you know, South Africa, have actually wrestled with this. Every country have wrestled with this. The principle of empowering locals is not wrong. All right? It's not a wrong idea. You have to think that our resources are finite. That at one point they will be done. They won't be there for kingdom come. Once that uranium is shipped, it's gone forever. It's actually gone forever. So shouldn't Namibian own a meaningful piece? You know, shouldn't we own the meaningful? And this is very serious, guys. Sooner or later, this kind of, you know, this resources may be out, maybe digged out and finished. It come to an end. They have a finite life. They are not endless. So now the question is, shouldn't Namibian actually own, in the meantime, can't we have a meaningful piece of that pie? And we actually should. The question is how and how fast, you know, really without also, this is also now without scaring away the capital that make mining possible in the first place. Also, we don't want to actually scare that away. So something that we need to think about seriously, maybe the NPC need to think about that seriously. And my third question is also then, who exactly are these locals? When we talk about local ownerships now, who are these locals? Who will win? Who will own that 51%? Think of this. We never, maybe you have, but we never pay attention to that. Who are these locals who will own 51%? Will it be the ordinary Namibian from Otjiwarongo, from Kiertmanshoop, from Opuwo? Will be the ordinary Namibians? Think about that. Who will be the local who will own 51%? Or will it be the same well-connected elite who already sit on every board? So those already, you know, those who already, how many? The 2-point-something% of the population who already on every board, who already own, you know, everything, who have the quarters, who have the whatever. Because if it's the later, then this whole debate is just about reshuffling wealth among the already wealthy people. You understand? And the community near these mines will see nothing change. You still see nothing change. It's held by the locals, but do you see any change? And those are issues that we have, like for BEE in South Africa as well. You know, it doesn't, you know, there are few, this kind of policy now make few people rich and the rest of the people still remain poor. So ask yourself, who are these local who will own the 51%? Has it been even discussed? Has it been even, you know, do we have even a strategy to see, do we have a detailed workout way who's going to own this 50%, 51%? Who are these, you know, who are these locals? So think about that. Now, my other question is, what about the NDP 6? If our top national plan contradict what the president say, because it does contradict what the president say, according to the chamber's review that they have said, then which one do we follow? Which one do we follow? This is the kind of confusion that makes now investor put their money in Zambia or in DRC instead of here. Because our NDP6 is saying something else, and you know, your president is saying something different. So who do you follow? So yeah, those are issues that we should be talking about. We should be discussing. So tell me, Namibia. So let me open the line now so you can come through as well. And and have your say. Do you think the 51% local ownership would genuinely benefit ordinary citizens? Remember what I said, who are the locals that then, you know, would genuinely benefit ordinary citizen or just the political connected few? So when we ask this question, we know what has been happening. Should government, should there maybe, the other thing is then, should government bend to investor pressure? Because there is investor pressure here. Or hold firm, should they hold firm on the economic transformation? Even if it costs us, let's say, short-term capital. And it's going to cost us short-term capital. Should we hold on that? Should we hold firm on our economic transformation, if that's what we want? Or you should we, you know, should we bend to investors' pressure? All right. Or maybe there's a middle road. Maybe 30%. Maybe, you know, a phased over 15%. I mean, 15 years. Who knows? So some kind of, is there a middle road? That could give us both investment and also then a transformation as well. Economic transformation as well. Well, I want to hear from you. So what do you think? 0833-66091. What do you think? So you're most welcome to come through and have your say, have your contributions. This is where your contribution comes in. So 0833-66091. We're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio, I'm waiting for your call and for your comments.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandi toma yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Ikele FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, onorahe tatu imu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Ikele FM, go ahe.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And good morning to you if you're just joining us. And welcome to Unpacking the Day here on Eagle FM. Yeah, so yeah, just wrapping up what we have been talking about, what we're looking at this morning, is that the first is that the president has personally killed the 51% rule as official policy. So that is now confirmed. Okay. Second, the damage from the original announcement was real. You know, companies were suspended, as I said earlier on the Australian, for example, stock exchange. Investor confidence took a little bit of a knock, and our reputation as a stable destination took a hit. And we even have a discussion here, you know, about that as well. So thirdly, the National Planning Commission is now the traffic cop. You know, they are now the traffic cop on the local ownership matters. And no more rogue announcement, shooting from the hip. Yeah, so Yeah, they are the traffic cop on the local ownership now. So, fourthly, but the contradiction, you know, in the NDP6 still hang on in the air. So this contradiction, it's still hang on in the air. Until that is cleared up, you know, the cloud isn't fully gone. Okay? So yeah. And as I said, both sides have a legitimate point. Industry need predictability, investor need predictability, government need transformation. Of course, you can understand where the government is. They need to see, you know, a transformation in our community based on, you know, based on our resources. So, yeah. So the answer must balance both. It must balance both. And, yeah, the bigger debate, I think, remain unresolved. How do we get more meaningful Namibian ownership in our mineral? So without driving away the capital, without driving away the skills, we still need, because we still need this. We still need the investors' capital. We still need investors' expert and skill. So, and that is the $1 trillion questions, okay? That is the $1 trillion question. Namibia, this is your economy and your voice matter, okay? Your voice matter. So, yeah, and you're listening to Unpacking the Day, where we don't just report the news. We sit with it. We wrestle with it. And we make sense of it together. All right. So what is your saying? What is your take on that? So 08333-66091. 08333-66091. It's the number to get to me, to talk to me, to talk to Ma in the here, right here in the studio. So, right. I'll be waiting for you. And if you don't come, I know you're listening. So we move on. So we go to the next, you know, to the next item we have prepared for you. All right. Stay tuned. All right. Someone is knocking. A very good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
It's very cold, my friend. What is going on with you?
It's very cold, my friend. My friend is getting there now.
It's very cold there.
And I'm asking my daughters, my children, yes, where are my jersey actually? You know, sometimes they just grab my jersey, put on, and then now I'm struggling. I can't find my jersey.
Oh, my good Lord. I can see that. You
know, and you know what? I never used to like cold.
I love cold. Don't even say that.
Yeah, but now I started loving it, you know, those time of Corona.
Yeah.
You know, you train. And, you know, for me, I train all the time. There's no way that you cannot, because otherwise I'll become sick if I don't joke around.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, no, definitely.
So yeah. Now it's getting cold, but it's a good weather.
That's
Let's
a good
see
weather.
How things will go.
Yeah, I love it. So I love it when it's cold.
Yeah, it's true, because you can always see,
I have a number of suits. When I was much younger, I have so many suits. Now they are just sitting in the thing. I love winter because then I have a chance to wear them, you know.
Oh, it's true. That is another good opportunity. Yeah. Those have been my area. So let's see now how we can diverge into your discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much for the presentation and the analysis of both sides.
Yeah.
And it's important that the NPC really spearhead some of those areas.
Yeah.
Because they really deal with those funds.
Mm.
So they might be able to create that strong conviction within our people to mobilize those resources that are needed And if it is true that we can also, I think we also have Namibia Stock Exchange, isn't it?
Yeah, no, we have Namibia Stock Exchange. Yeah.
So the local ones who are really willing to get in there, if they are just convinced,
yeah,
it's a really matter of unveiling that some kind of uncertainty that might be, you know, could be some kind of fear.
Yeah. And so, Uncle Bwana, what do you think about, you know, 51% local ownership? Does it make economical sense, or should we think, you know, okay, a 30% would be okay, because we still want to have, you know, investors investing in this country? You know, what do you think?
But now, if you can have more percentage local ownership, and people are really investing,
yeah,
getting money and invest in those areas, so that would be the best way.
Yeah.
So the mining companies, I understand what they are doing, you know, these realities and all these other things, and they're doing a good thing. But if we now say yes, we can do that. We can work with them. We can now say you can use that vehicle that they always talk about. I don't know how people don't normally talk about it. Maybe somebody needs to help us to unpack that thing. Triple P, public-private partnership.
Yeah, we have.
Well, even the people themselves as independent entities. So they can mobilize for resources and get in there.
The other thing, Uncle Bona, the other thing is that what investors are actually investing is actually the pension fund of their own people. Why can't we use the money that we have here, the GIPF money that we have here?
So much money. You read my mind. I was now going to GIPF.
Yeah.
And we see how they are also investing. If you mobilize yourself, put your idea together. The NPC is there to look at the policies and the laws also for the government.
Yeah.
That's why when those directives and policies are made, the NPCs are there tasked to facilitate and help also and coordinate the policy that the government is making, or I don't know whether the private sector, sometimes I think I used to see some of them in those conversations where the policies are given the directive from the cabinet, whatever, from the president. All those things, they are there. That is their responsibility. But you must also build your capacity within you, internal capacity there. So that they can do that when you are coming up with your policy. But that is the procedure, and it has to be done that way. Otherwise, it's go to the parliament. If you can be thrown away, because some of those inputs and the policies are not in line or aligned to some of those, even the minerals that people are talking about.
Yeah.
So now here, what I'm saying here is that in conclusion, perhaps, because we have been talking about these things for so many times and things like that.
Yeah.
And maybe, like I said, how do we then mobilize the capital and the resources, whether it's in people and things. Like the way they did it, they are doing it in their country.
Yeah.
That's why this one is not like you say, I was learning like a story now. If you cannot run this thing like you are running a tax shop, it's not manna from heaven. And all these Toronto banks that are telling us. So now, if that is the case, we understand it's very expensive. For you to explore there, billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah.
If the government has to go there, that means they will sacrifice their budget, their national budget.
Yeah.
So now, for us, don't we have money also, people here within ourselves, or the knowledge? Maybe it's the idea and the knowledge and all these things that you need to translate now into money, isn't it?
Yeah.
So please let the NPC deal with those things, because they know where the programming, where the money is coming, where the money is, and all those things. Mm. There are very, very, very good people there in NPC. So if it can be really taken care of, I believe there will be no policy or laws or whatever that are in conflict with the aspiration of the people and the values and all these other things that we are talking about.
Yeah.
So I think I can end up here, my brother. Though some of these benefits, they will trickle down.
Mm.
If things are really well coordinated, and please, let people not contradict the president.
Yeah. All right.
Because this is just a good vision, I think, leadership vision, and which we need to promote as well.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Mike, for the opportunity.
All right, thanks for coming through.
Go back.
Oh, 0833-66-091. 0833-66-091. So what do you think? What's your take? What is your contribution? You know, the thing is this, né? Sometimes people, né? Don't take for granted. Don't take this opportunity for granted. Imagine if this opportunity was not there. You know, there are countries where press freedom, where you cannot go to in a platform like this and express your, you know, how you feel. So,
a very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Mike.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you, my brother?
I'm all right. I was just about to not complain and tell Namibians that, you know, they don't realize that, you know, in country like Namibia, we have platform like this one where you can actually air your how you feel. In other countries, there aren't any platform at all where you... And we don't use those platforms. You understand?
What is true indeed.
Yeah, there are other countries, not only in Africa, where you don't have that opportunity. Where we have opportunity, we don't even use them to form.
Express our feelings and...
It's not just actually expressing, it's also kind of... because the certain
then
things
you
that you say inform mind. You understand?
Yeah.
You inform mind. It's not just the sake we come here just to have a talk. Just say, okay, let's have a talk. No, we talk about issues that are really, really, really concerning issues of our country. So just for people really to understand that we need to direct the discussion and the discourse that help to inform the mind of our nation. So that's how we bring the change. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why I'm also like our leader, if they can use this platform, even sometimes I just will respond.
Exactly.
Because we cannot just talk, then there's nobody even coming through. But I'm sure some of them, they do listen.
No, listen, they do listen. So the other thing is that, you know, as you said, they could immediately use this platform to come and talk.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Imagine we also have to run after them.
Instead
of them, we said, well, this information that we need to give out, we would be like in a position, we are the one who would say, no, not that. But we are the one who actually running after them all the time, and we don't even get them, you know?
Yeah. And the funny thing is that, you know, when it comes to like that time of election, guys are available.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone is.
And now they are landing away like, you have to chase them around and every time they're in the meeting.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But indeed, seriously, we need to use this platform which we are given.
Yeah. We need to create conscious
idea. Exactly.
As I said, first of all, it's not just about complaining about something, you know, it's also sensitizing our mind as a nation, you know. I always tell people, you see, you know, why do Coke, it's one of the worldwide brand, but why do you still see it on television, you know?
Exactly.
Why do you see it? Because this is one of the well-known brand. They kind of like, we don't need to. But the thing is this, the more you see it, The more you see it on the television,
the more you get attracted to.
Okay, yeah. The more it's getting to your mind, and the more you're more likely actually to make a choice, you know?
Exactly.
Because you see it often. It's the same thing. The more we talk about certain issues, the more we more likely to, you know, to react to those, you know?
Yeah.
In our own life.
And the thing goes on, you know, for to empower your mind, sometimes you need to start listening to things, what's happening currently.
Yeah.
With a lot of people, they will tell you, no, I'm not interested. This is not, because they're always jumping on the conclusion about politics.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't like to entertain politics.
Yeah.
I don't know what. But the thing is that the politician, if you don't engage in, they're still dealing with you, whether you like it or not.
Exactly.
That's why sometimes at the, for you to empower yourself is to use your mind. I mean, to reflect your mind when you are up to date what is surrounding you, especially in the country.
Yeah.
And that's why most of the people who are left out is because they don't know what is even going on. I'm telling you, they're even surprised, like, no, it's not Congo suspended. Because they are not paying attention. What is going on?
The thing is that
we only listen to the nonsense things which are happening in TikTok.
Exactly. We more focus if you listen to. And I'm not dishing. Every institution has its target
it's
and whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not dishing on other radio. But you know, I'm just saying when you go, for example, you know, where they're talking about maybe people in America and all that. That's where you find people calling in,
people
you know,
calling in,
talking
radios,
about, you know, talking to people who are not even here. But issues that are concerning you, that are concerning your life.
They are more in life of what? what the Kardashian eat them for breakfast?
Exactly.
Where is it going to be in the evening?
So you found people on those
nothing about your life
on those platform arguing things that are actually taking place somewhere far away. People that you will never probably meet in your life, and they have no impact at your life at all, and things that have impact on your life. You completely.
One day, you know, Mike. Sorry to get you. One day, I provoke. Woman, because it's like, you know, NBC is having this talk show.
Yeah.
People's Parliament. And I'm wondering now, like, no, guys, why was we only guys who are calling here?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me that women, they cannot see what is happening in Namibia?
Yeah.
Then I'm like, okay, then because we are talking with the president, I'm like, no, because they were not interested because they are more interested in the show of like requesting a song for a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Or who cheat you? Yeah. Those are things. And when you see coming, I'm like, yeah, you see now.
Yeah.
Those are things which really get nothing to build the nation.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why sometimes you don't see the women. How many women are here coming through?
Mm.
But I'm sure they are listening.
Of course.
But
they are
if you are talking, started talking about men, how men are behaving toward women, how they are cheating and how they are doing. I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, just go to the station that actually focusing on music, for example. Not even local
exactly.
music. Just certain things that are far away from you. You find them there. You find them there.
They were not calling.
Yeah, you find them there. Yeah.
So, yeah, Mike, let us go to the president.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, you know, Mike, I think sometimes we have to look to ourselves in.
Yeah.
And we look like now we come up with 51%. Yes, indeed, it's a good initiative when you look to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because why I'm saying so is take it or leave it. You know, we've been giving our mineral for charity.
Mm.
Especially when we are talking about mine, you talk about our fish, you talk about a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's going for charity. Because remember one thing, these foreigners, the way they do things, they come here, sometimes they don't even have money. Look at the way of the Chinese. Now they are investor, but they come here with only one container.
Yeah.
And they live with what? They live with a lot of property, like in Oshkango or Shana, you name it, or Kavango.
Mm.
But this business just come with what? A suitcase and a container.
Yeah.
Now he's having a property all over around Namibia.
So he now actually, now he lives with the whole ship full of containers.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole ship is actually full of his containers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is a thing I think we're supposed to start it earlier. It's even above Benju. But we can say no, because with Namibian, we don't have money, we don't have. It's hard time. Some of the institutions I'm always complaining about, like Social Security and DPF, and even the Vitia Fund. What are they funding for?
Yeah.
We understand it's for the future, but what currently our youth are going through? And who's going to give birth to those who are going to benefit at the Vitia Fund if the people are dying for hunger?
So there was a piece that I brought here. Né? There was a piece that I actually discussed. I can't remember now who was actually a piece that I. It's a kind of opinion piece that that the money Africa now. The problem with Africa is not about the money anymore.
No, not anymore. Yeah,
it's actually
maybe it's our mindset.
It's how we spend the money that we have. It's how we spend the money that we have. So money that we borrow in our banks are actually for debt. It's not actually for development. It's not for investment.
For development anymore.
Yeah. So we're borrowing so much money to actually, you know.
To repay the loan.
Exactly. You know.
It's like I'm taking a loan from you, Mike.
Yeah.
To pay Naluvanda loan.
Yeah.
And I could be going. When I run out again, I go to Naluvanda to come and pay your loan.
Yeah.
That is how we are, Africa. And that is not taking us any way.
We operate in a cash loan manner.
You remember the other time they said, no, we must come up with a initiative way. I'm saying, okay, China, I know I owe you how much is this. Okay, like, what about if I give you now to control those things that we have only 3%? Then we give it for you for 5 years because we know the, like now, uranium is a cake, is selling like a gold.
Yeah.
So we give you for 5 years. We're done. Then also from there, after 5 years, we said, my friend, we are done with your loan. Now we come to the negotiating table. 1% for Namibia.
Did you listen to
49 for you?
Did you listen to the show yesterday? Because we were talking about it's an article in the Villager where we actually don't know how much we have in our country, you know.
How much? Well, those are the problem. I think we need to fix.
You see, we it doesn't put you in a strong position. What do you negotiate about when you yourself don't even know how much you have?
We don't know what you have. Exactly, that's the problem. I think we are going through.
So those are issues
which we need to fix.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if we keep it the way it is, and because remember one thing, that now people are not in hurry because there are people who are benefiting out of that loophole.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, these are things we need to urgently. To be done.
Yeah. And that's the question I ask is this, you know, I was asking to say, look, when we're talking about local, you know, the local ownerships, who are these locals, you know, because, who are these locals that we're referring to, you know, because it could be those already who own, you know, big companies who already own the wealth of this country, you know, so then it doesn't make any difference. Of course, you have the Namibian. But it doesn't trickle down to the people who need this, you know.
Mostly.
So you can say we have a 51% ownership, but you know, you still don't see any difference in the life of the people.
You remember the other time I told you that it would only those people who are having money already in the recycle.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have money, how can you acquire the 51% if this partnership will come in?
Exactly.
They will tell you, you know how much in the machine which I'm bringing in, but you are just because of what?
Yeah.
You are shareholder and then you are telling me you have to have 51%.
Yeah.
Where's your upfront?
Yeah. You're asking for 51% local ownership, yeah. But you don't have a strategy.
Nothing. You are just waving your hand in the pocket.
Yeah.
And you are talking about 51%. Where's the money now? I'm putting my money for 49% here. Where's yours? Yeah. That is also really contrasting. And sometimes also we're thinking about like what we are talking about foreigner direct investment. How the foreigner are going to invest, will they know? They are just going to own that portion. But for me, I know that we have a lot of, especially when we discover a lot of what critical mineral.
Yeah.
The world is looking at Namibia, and everybody is coming. But I like it. The 51%, I'm sure, is going really to channel that money to stay in the country.
Yeah.
Only the problem, my problem is that only the monies are going to end up to those ones who already have. And those are who have, it's those ones who don't spend money in the country. They're always flying out. Those going to have a dinner, to eat a dinner in Dubai.
Yeah.
That money is not, never going to reach Dunja.
Yeah, no, 51, you have to look at different way of 51, of 51 yeah. local ownership. What you can look is that, you know, you can also looking at, you know, even if the investor have the share of the amount of the thing, the amount of what they invest could be locally.
Locally.
Do you understand? You know, you invested it locally rather than you take a raw material and just shipped it, you know.
So
there could be that, okay, put up a processing plant. You understand?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That constitute our 51% ownership. Eh? Put up
exactly.
A factory somewhere. Put up.
Yeah.
You understand? It's not really. There could be
not
mechanism.
Really amount of.
Okay. Find an innovative way of making that 51%.
51% to stay in the country.
To stay in the country. Yeah.
Yeah.
So rather than have individual investing, you can look at it in many ways. Well, we are not economics to understand that better, but we can see that it's possible. Yeah. You know,
it is possible to be done.
Yeah.
And if other country can do it like Angola, the way they are doing it, why so Namibia cannot do it?
Yeah, like,
I'm telling you, my brother, we said the Angolans are poor. They are poor because of their mindset, and they are still in the what? In the 1970s.
Yeah.
Up to now, go to Angola. They are still having the coffin carried by... and the people are loading the way we used to do it in the 1960s. That's what I'm saying. Guys, coming this side of Southern Angola, only that we are not given a chance as Namibians. You know, when our government, they maybe trusted us to invest in us, and then some of us will look for opportunities outside.
Mm.
Among Angola, I think it's Angola, you talk about even Zimbabwe sometimes at the other side, then... My friend, we able to channel there to have something.
Yeah.
A currency exchange when it comes to SADC.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, because our money, they can do a lot of things, even in Zambia. But the problem, our government is not even looking for people who want to go and do business somewhere else. They are just, and they will be able to even to employ Namibian people from here to go and work. Just think of yourself. Do you know how much you are bringing at home?
Yeah.
Instead of us just going there to buy cars in Botswana.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying sometimes we need to be to look at the youth who want really to do something.
Yeah,
to employ others.
Yeah, it's but the whole thing is just opportunities that are not there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The opportunity is not there, but some of us travel, you can see that the opportunity, like in the Southern Angola, that I'm telling you, even you just put up a panel beater in Angola, you will be making.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem, you go to even development thing, you talk about it, they're like, look, are you crazy? Talking about going out to Angola. They will not even think about it even to say, oh, we'll come back to you. Mm-mm. They will shut it down there.
Yeah.
That's a problem we have in this country. That's what I'm saying. Only those who have and going to benefit in that 20%, because a lot of us, we don't have money.
Exactly, exactly. That's the issue.
Yeah. Mm. But anyway, for me, it's a good initiative when it comes to special natural resource. They will stay in the, at least they will make it meaningful in our country.
Yeah. That's the idea. That's the
you
idea.
Think about even like, yeah, you think about even like the way they are, we are shipping out our fish to Spain. And there is no factory even in Spain with the build in the, in our Namibian country. They are taking it the way it is.
Yeah.
And sometimes those fish, they will come back. We as a Namibian, we are going, our factories are going to buy from Spain. That
right,
is our fish.
Right here.
And
right
also here. We do the same. So in, you remember the other time we are talking about we spend what? It's 400 and 400 million.
Yeah.
To South Africa, to buy fish from South Africa.
Yeah.
It's like we don't have a sea. Sometimes those things are, we need it, really. And I think it's a way to go forward.
Yeah.
We are talking about our lithium now. We are talking about, we'll discover even what, there's a lot of things.
Yeah, there was a new discovery. When I mentioned something like that yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. That one, I think, in nitrate or something.
Yeah,
we need to, seriously. Because remember one thing when we are talking about even green hydrogen, is what I'm saying, there's a lot of components. And we, as a Namibian, we can see it, we can look at it, we can study it even in the paper, but the problem is the capital.
Yeah.
And when your name, it doesn't start with somebody who knows somebody, you keep wondering, my friend. You
yeah.
All right, Mike.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Okay, sure.
Great.
08333-66091. So the challenge for women, there was a challenge for women that, why don't you participate? Why don't you, you know, take, part in the, conversation? You are the one who are leading now the country and you're quiet. Why don't you participate in the discourse, in the national discourse, of our country when it comes to economic discussion. All right, 08333-66091. Our time is about 27 minutes past the hour of 9. So we go until 10 o'clock. Make sure that you come through and, that's a challenge, especially for women. Where are you? Okay. So, te muefera ngono shirongo mara ye tantu penande ewiriko, you know, inanghana nando kukufombinga, mini maia ya pambo elikolo shi lo shirongo, nyonye muri kwete wa kwetu, nyonye muri kwete reko meshone epeife, you know? Otherwise, we're going to make a coup. A man against woman coup. It's not the military coup that we see in Western Africa. Most in West Africa. So we are going to make a man coup. Eh? So, yeah. Kufeku tare ngaku. Kufeku ngaku. O meme kufeku ngaku. Ladies, you know, women, please, you know, get yourself. Okay, let's move on. This one is also very interesting. It's a very, very, very interesting a deal. This is a deal that that could actually change the living situation of thousands of families. You know, a deal that on paper, as always, on paper, it looks like a win. You know, it looked like a win. But well, here's on unpacking the day. This is unpacking the day. So we always look beneath the surface. We don't just take the press release or the article and then, no, we go, you know, we go beneath the surface because we know in this country, you know, we have learned that, we have learned the hard way that, what looks good on paper, it doesn't always reach the people who need it most. It doesn't always reach the people who need most. So we're going to be back. After this commercial, stay tuned after the market.
Imba ya rire ombo na ii etepawe dhako ombu ni kilo ombe ombi hukusha. Njiviro yoye irire ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no mafa kumurungu wa indu. Walire ongere kusha umune ondenguo kuura kwe imba. Una ovi une vya peke kwa ondola onirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe. So, pika ovi inki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva. Owa peresente dano kumyeve vitatu moshimariva. Owa peresente umurongo kumyeve hambu umwe moshimariva. Owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeve umurongo na ivari moshimariva. Ito orera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukife. Ashiesho imba ya kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uyevu haka enina. Itako na wina rishangita jinun.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome. Welcome back. It's 31 minutes past the hour of 9. And yeah, we thank you. And thank you for continuing listening. And yeah, so I'm just challenging you, you know, I'm just challenging you to take part as well, you know, to, it's only when we, and many of you are actually expert in various things that we bring it here. That's why we're asking you come through as well. And that's why we create this platform for you, you know, to come through and have a contribution. So let's look at this story. The headline is one of the headlines that we have. It's a cabinet has approved a debt swap between the city of Windhoek and Namibian government. The city owes 357.8 million Namibian dollar in old debt. This is a kind of like an old debt. So now, instead of paying cash, the city will hand over 428 hectares of land. So in return now, that debt get wiped clean. So, and the land is supposed now to become more than, you know, 6,000 residents or even. So mean plots of houses, you know, to help, of course, to help ease the housing shortage in a commerce region. So that's the whole, you know, the headlines. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a background to how did we get up to here. You know, how did we get to here? So now, to understand this deal, now between the city of Windhoek and the government, you need to understand the history. Now, and the history goes back roughly 20 years, you know, sometimes around the early 20s, the early 2000s, you know, the city of Windhoek took a loan from their central government, a big loan. Okay. Over the years, the interest piled up. The city struggled to pay it back. And before long, that debt grew into a massive, massive burden hanging around the neck of the municipality. So by 2024, the figure stood at roughly 357.7 million Namibian dollar. So, and it had not gone, you know, it hasn't gotten any smaller. You know, it has been growing, of course, because of interest as well. But that's not all. That's not all. It was not just the city that was drowning in debt. The people of Windhoek were drowning in debt too. You know, the resident owed the city more than 1.2 billion in unpaid water bills, electricity bills, and property rates. So, and if you think the government ministries and state-owned enterprises owed the city another 600 million on top of that. So this is crazy. So you had this crazy situation where everybody owed everybody. You know, the city could not actually pay government. Government departments could not pay the city. And residents simply could not afford to pay either. So a whole cycle of debt. It's a mess. It's absolutely a mess. So, and while all of this was happening, you know, the city was falling apart. As you can see, going to the city, going to the city of Windy, it's falling apart. The road maintenance, back, you know, backlog hit, hit 2.67 billion Namibian dollar. Maintenance, road maintenance, the infrastructure maintenance, backlog reached another 2.6 billion. So what happened now? The city could not actually borrow money from any bank because no financial institution was going to lend a municipality that was already sinking in debt. You know? So that was the issue. Now, this is the issue here. So they were effectively locked out of the credit market. Yeah? They are locked out of the credit market. They could not invest. They could not build. They could not service land. The machine just stopped working. Yeah? The machine just stopped working. So, meanwhile, now the other issue is that now, you see, now you stop actually doing all those kind of things. You know, you stop building, you know, they couldn't build, they couldn't invest, they couldn't whatever, and so they couldn't service land. But the other thing, the issue, now the problem is that the people keep coming to the region. They keep coming to Commerce region. So between 21, eh, just between 21 and 2023, Windhoek's population jumped from 332,000, 325,000, to nearly 486,000. So that is, okay, that is a 50% increase in just 12 years. Yeah? 50% increase. So we have people actually pouring from the rural areas, from the regions, you know, looking for work, looking for opportunities. Yeah? So, and where did they end up? Now, where did they end up? Of course, they end up in Havana, Groot Aup, Okanja Park, eh? The informal settlement, because there was nowhere else to go. There were nowhere else to go. The formal housing market was too expensive. Land was too expensive. The system simply could not keep up. Now, today, Namibia has national housing backlog of approximately 300,000. Unit, 300,000 unit. In Windhoek alone, the city estimates it needs about 60,000 housing units in Windhoek. Now, the national housing enterprises say it would, for them it would take 76 billion to close that gap nationally. And when you hear any institution telling you that we need about this billion, once they mention it in billion, forget it. That's a way to say we cannot do this. 76 billion Namibian dollar. That's an absolute to say, guys, we aren't going to do that. We won't be able to do that. As simply as that. Yeah? You remember? And since the mass housing program started in 2014, and this is, close your ears, because you don't want to hear this, okay? Since the mass housing program started in 2014, I told you, don't blame me, because I told you to close your ears. You know, only 4,826 houses have been built across the entire continent. I mean, not continent, oh gosh. Across the entire country. 4,000. When you need 300,000. 4,000 when you need 300,000. That is the scale of the crisis we are talking about. So, now. Now comes the swap deal, the debt swap. Okay, let's get back to that. I was just giving you a little bit of, put you into a picture where we are. Now, the idea is actually, it's quite simple when you break it down. When you break it down, it's quite very simple. Now, the city of Windhoek cannot pay its 357.8 million debt in cash. They cannot. So, but the city does have something else. Eh? The city have something else. What do they have? They have land. A lot of it. They have land and a lot of it. So the arrangement works like this. Okay, so the city transferred 428 hectares of land to the central government. Now the government then wipes, write off that historical debt. Okay, now the city books, the city books now get cleared up. Okay, and then freed up land is supposed now to be used for housing development. Okay, so that's. That's basically the agreement. Now, here's the first thing that caught my attention. So the bad thing is that, not the bad thing, the things that for some of us now, anytime we don't just read anymore. So this is what actually my wife's saying, is that you guys, because when I read something, I always keep asking questions. But why, she said to me, do you read? Do you just sometimes read and read what it is and take it as it is? Do you always have to ask questions about about things? Yeah, no, my mind has been now alert to small things. Now it's alerted to things, small things, Yeah. The governor of the Commerce region, who was closely involved in pushing this idea forward, has described it as a turning point. All right. Now he said it is financially sound and beneficial, to resident. Okay. He pointed out that reducing the city debt burden, restore its ability now to borrow money. That means the city, can go back to the market. They can go back to the market and raise fund for infrastructure, okay, for services, for development. Now, in theory, it's a smart move. In theory, it's a smart move. You take liability, okay, when you talk about finance, right, you take liability, that's a debt that was, a debt that was choking the city. And you convert it into an asset, a land that can be used now to build homes. I said, that's smart move. It's honestly a smart move. Now, the deal comes in two phases. Okay. It comes in two phases. Under phase one, land in Havana and Groot Aup will be released first. Okay, about 4,856 housing even are expected to come out of these two areas alone. 4,856. Now, remember this. So the reason why I'm laughing, you remember when we have the mass housing, how long it has been up to today? The mass housing. How much houses have we built? It's only about 4,000 something. So now we will be able to. This is where now you question, sometimes the realistic. I think who was actually talking about when we listened to the difference this morning, talking about realistic. There are certain sometimes things that you just mention, but realistically, But realistically, is that realistic, So we couldn't actually, for how many years? Since 2014, when was it? We couldn't actually build more than 10,000 and then more, actually less than 5,000. And then within how many, I don't even know how many, we will be able to do that be able to build 4,856 housing even expected to come out of these two areas alone. So if you know Havana, you know that this place has been really crying for development for years. And for some reason, this is something that Oshimegeshe Tunyenga is one thing that is really so difficult it's a something, it's a housing, housing crisis. It's a problem in our country, but we don't seem to do something dramatic. Do you understand? You know, when you know this is a crisis and you just go your way to do something that is really dramatic. We don't seem to. Yeah? So we don't seem to do something dramatic. So, yeah, and you know, there have been informal settlement growth spreading like wildfire, in especially in those areas, and very limited service to show for it. Yeah? So, now, the governor say that once government speeds up servicing, okay, speed up servicing and allocation, speed up servicing and allocation, real development will follow. And now your question would be, how long that will take? So, like, we have already people who have been waiting for how many, 20-something years? How long that will gonna take? Let's hope. Let's hope he's right. We all just hope. Let's hope he's right, you know. Now, phase two will focus on land around the Independence Stadium precinct. So this now is earmarked for future sport infrastructure. So, yeah, and the deal also set aside aside land for national project, like including offices for the Namibian Revenue Agencies, high performance sports centers, and pharmaceutical logistic facilities. So it's not just housing. Okay, it's not just housing. There are other interests backed into this deal as well. So now, let's look at some few issues now that I would say not quite obvious, the unspoken reality. Okay, so we hear what we hear, but there are unspoken reality that sometimes are not obvious in the statement sometimes. Okay, now, so maybe the first thing to look at this, we look at in the way who benefit first. So now, when we're talking about now 4 to 3 hectares of land get released and 4,856 even get developed, who get first, you know, who really get first priority? Yeah? Who get the first priority? Now, I'm asking this because I don't think, would it be the grandmother who have been living in a shack in Havana for 15 years would be the one who actually get the first priority? Is it the young couple with two children crammed into a single room in Groot Aup? Who will get the first priority? Would it be these people? Or is it the developer? Yeah, the developer with a connection, and first of all, he has the connection, he has the capital to buy the even in bulk. He could actually buy the even in bulk. Yeah. That's my question, who get the benefit first? And those things are not even clear. Yeah. You're just told, yeah, no, we will be building, you know, 4,856 even, you know, will be developed. Of course, they will be developed. You could have actually a developer who will actually then develop this. And who do you meant? You said this is for the Havana, you know, people, but now what you have built is not affordable for those people. Yeah? And my dear, as I said, it could be developers with connection and the capital who can be able to buy everything. Because we have seen this, you know, it's kind of like a movie that you have seen before. It's where you know when somebody says something and you kind of like, you know, before you even finish saying, you kind of like, I know what you're saying. I know what you're talking about. Because see, I have heard it 1,000 times. So land get released, land gets serviced, and before the people in the informal settlement can even fill up the application form, the events are already sold. Yeah. We know the process. We know how it works, you know. So therefore, we need clarity on the on the allocation process. That has to be very clear. We need transparency. We need guarantees that the most vulnerable get first, you know, access. We need that. Now, the other thing is then, what about the affordability? Even if 6,000 even get developed, what will they cost? What will they cost? The reality in Namibia is that a service plot in Windhoek can cost anywhere from 10 of thousand to 100 of thousand of Namibian dollar. That's a fact. Now, the average Namibian worker earns a modest salary. Really, when I'm saying a modest, a minimum wage, look at our minimum, it's low. It's very low. Many people in informal settlement are unemployed or underemployed. So if you build 6,000 even, but they are priced beyond the reach of the people, who need the most? Who need them? Now you price that beyond the people who actually need it the most, then what have you really achieved? What have you really achieved? What you have done, actually, you have created estate, you know, the estate opportunities, not housing solutions. You have created estate opportunities, but not housing solutions. There is a difference there. That you can do easily. That you can estate opportunities, you can do it easily, but you are not solving housing solution. And as I said, there is a difference. Now, and my biggest question always is, because you and I know where does the money come from to service this land? Because let us be clear about something, okay? Releasing land is easy part. Okay, because that's enough. You just need an agreement with the government and you release the land. You know, any government can release land. Okay, but servicing the land, putting in water pipes, sewage system, you know, sewage system, you know, electricity grids, roads, storm water drainage, you know, that costs serious, serious, serious money. So releasing is easy, but is the government, where are we going to get money for those things? For servicing the land, we have been already have issues. One of the biggest issue of housing is land servicing, land availability, and land servicing. And all of a sudden, money will be. Where would the money come from, which we didn't have before? So you remember the city of Windhoek estimate it needs about 17 billion just to service the existing the backlog of 55,000 events. 17 billion. And remember what I told you, once you hear things in billion, forget it. Especially when it's come to enterprises. When they tell you, no, we need this much in billions, forget it. Okay?
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, Dr. Mike. Sorry to come back.
Yeah, quick one.
Yeah, because I just quick one, 2 minutes. Because you are touching something very important.
Yeah.
You know, Mike, how many times I say, we used to this butter system.
Yeah.
Our forefather we've been using. If you're having a lot of mango, I can give you a keto. You give me mango.
Yeah.
This is the way, and that is, I think, it's a smart way to do things.
Yeah.
What is City of Windhoek and the government did it? Because, but this is also come a long way with a good leadership of what? Urban Ministry.
Yeah.
I think Sangwasa is playing a bit of important role in that deal.
Exactly, yeah.
And because if you are the person who understands how things are working, this is a kind of smart movement which you can see, which are bringing a good result. And we can approach Sangwasa for that.
That's a very good point. It's having someone who understands. You understand? First of all, has the political will. The other thing is then also that, you know, he understands. He is in the area that he's comfortable and exactly. that he knows better. And you are hardly challenged. You can't challenge that because, first of all, he understands the law and he understands the direction. He has the direction.
He has a direction.
Yeah. So many of our leaders. Exactly. Many of our leaders in the ministry, for example, those who are leading ministry, they really have no direction.
They don't
have direction. So
I'm telling you.
They only.
Because today is doing this,
and
tomorrow is doing the other things, which you cannot understand.
Yeah.
If this person was talking the way yesterday, now why is doing this? He contradicting what he's saying.
Yeah.
But I'm sure this is a smart move. And for us, as a people who are really at the end of the line, I'm sure we are going to get a benefit of that.
Yeah.
It's even, I'm telling you, how many times I told you that, you know, for City of Windhoek to have a smart city, you have to give people that. And this is what I think a government is going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because once you give a title deed to the people, then you say, I give you 5 years. I'm telling people they will build beautiful house.
Yeah.
Because nobody know what is underneath that wall which you painted red or green or whatever color or white. I can go to dump site to pick up my bricks there.
Yeah.
Then I do it by today. I bring like maybe 100 bricks, and tomorrow I'm going to buy cement. The next month, I have somebody come in to build half of it. And the other month, I'm going to July again. You see? You will see that beautiful house. It only takes one by one the way and they build the house.
Yeah.
That is the way we're supposed to do it. But if you are saying everybody must have a machine, my friend, how many of us are able to do it in that way? And that is the problem I think we have with City of Windhoek.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always saying, no, why is City of Windhoek have to give a developed land to the property developer?
Yeah.
With people who are having money, they can develop it themselves. I mean, service that loan.
Yeah.
But in City of Windhoek, we are giving a land which is already services, and this property developer, like a bank, they will come and charge people like what?
Yeah, to
500,000 unbuilt a land which is not even a virgin land.
Yeah, yeah.
Serious. I think really it's a way to go.
Yeah.
So right, man. I think also they must learn what is happening.
Yeah.
To City of Windhoek and the government.
All right, man.
Even to pay for sometimes.
Yeah, so we're coming towards the end. Yeah, so thanks again. Yeah, I can't hear you now. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. Timeline is very important. You know, we have heard about phase one and then a phase two. You know, but when does that phase one actually begin? When does the first family move into a newly serviced elf, you know, in Havana? So it's all left, you know, open. You know, the governor has committed to ensuring that the land is turned into housing and infrastructure, not just allocated on paper, should be committed, you know. But commitment are cheaper in Namibian politics. Yeah, are really cheaper in Namibian politics. We need dates. We need milestone. We need accountability. Because we have been there. We have been here before. All right? Remember Harambe Prosperity? Harambe Prosperity Plan promised 20,000 new houses. The mass housing program I was talking about was supposed to deliver 185,000 houses, homes by 2020-30. As I told you. So as I said, well, close your ears. You know, so far, fewer than 5,000 have been built nationally. So the gap between promises and delivery in this country is wider enough to drive a truck through. So, yeah. And the question of number, you know, the what about Groot-Aup? The other thing is Groot-Aup. For years, the people of Groot-Aup have been fighting against being absorbed into the city of Windhoek. They have rejected integration. They have said the city has derailed their development, and they want to be proclaimed their own, you know, their own town. So now suddenly, Groot-Aup is part of this grand land swap deal. You know, where the people actually, now you have to ask, where the people of Groot-Aup consulted, do they support this? Or is it another case of government making decision about people's land, you know, without asking people who live on it? You know? So we need to hear from the Groot-Aup community as well. Because if this deal is being imposed on them, then it is not development. It's something else entirely. All right. So, yeah. So what do we know? What do we still need to find out? You know, what we know is this, okay? The city of Windhoek, is 357.8 million historical debt to central government is being converted into a land transfer of 423 hectares. So the debt get wiped, the city ability to borrow get restored. Now, land in Havana and Groot-Aup will be then prioritized for housing development with approximately, you know, 4,856 avenues in phase one. So the total deal could produce more than 6,000 residential avenues. You know, cabinet has approved it, and the commerce government backs it, and the Ministry of Finance and the City of Windhoek work together on it. All right. What we still need to know is that who gets priority allocation, as I said earlier on. Who gets priority allocation? What will the Avon cost? Who is funding the servicing of the land? You know, there are so many questions. What is the concrete timeline for the delivery, and where the communities of Havana and Groot-Aup properly consulted? You know, what accountability mechanism are in place to ensure this land actually becomes home of the people who need them? So those are some of the questions that still need answers. That still not need answers. So we're going to have the answer. We're going to have the answer today, maybe tomorrow. Who knows? All right. So, and that actually brings us to the end of unpacking the day this morning. And thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. I saw that Naluvanda around here, so he will be taking over with Kuthamosha. And what can I say? All right, before he get in. So here's my take. On paper, this is a creative solution to a really, really stubborn problem. So the city of Windhoek has been, you know, suffocating under debt for two decades. So cleaning up that balance sheet is a necessary first step, I think, you know. So, and the idea of turning land that was just sitting there into housing for families who desperately need it is, I think it's the right decision. It's the right decision. No argument there. There's no argument there. So, but this is a big but. So the real test is not the signing ceremony. It's not the signing. The real test is in 6 months, in a year, in 2 years. The real test is whether a family in Havana will be holding a title deed in their hands. So the real test is whether the mother in Grootouw will turn on a tap inside her own house. And the real test is whether this government can deliver on its promise, not just announce it. So Nalovanda is here, and he will take on the Kufamosha. And I think this is your last show on. I wouldn't say the last, but I think tomorrow. What do you have on your show today?
Nenondinamo vana falama ovoha karavat tavetengo be pwa mashufa mno shidano shengobe.
Yeah.
Tukakaramo na tatekafuli ya machovo. Oh. Shawange ne totalengo boto chike njaba tadiru dipwa.
Njaba?
Eno.
Yeah.
Ndetwe pukine na machishi taveli tange taviyo mbadba mushilisho vini.
Shike? Ashifa nangi pyo si oshi oshi mashi.
Akuchi oshidano shengobe. Shari ne konto ndako. Koka bango.
Yeah.
Enatoka udango na samane wa edilifashita viku fombadba.
Yeah.
Mongo veliomo.
Okay.
Wetoka pukirange shatuka ame ngundafana detuna tate mfuri. Ono ufano wango no ambu ino shini. Anu veli mofuka ndo tatu.
Anu veli mofuka ndo tatu.
No.
Otatu pe.
Otatu kakwari ya.
Acho
ambu ino shini. Kwa ya mwono no maangu mwono
Putting a game, bing and bing, that Narvanda, Tapfakospundi, or Moharo, or Kalumwa.